All right.
Peculiar also mean unique?
Well, I'm just saying it. That's the verb, just that particular word. It's not the definition of peculiar in English. It's the definition of, it's a verb form, I am, in Greek.
Exodus 3:14. Try that.
We're looking for I am, Exodus 3:14.
Says, I am, had sent me unto you.
No, there's another one.
Oh, you're not counting that one?
No.
Yeah, that's closer.
What's that?
God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, has sent me unto you.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. That's it.
I've noticed that often the am is in italics.
Not here.
Not in this one. But I've noticed that often.
When it says I am?
Yeah.
I've never seen that. Where the am is in italics.
Huh?
I've never seen it where
the am is in italics. The I is not.
No, I understand that, but I've never seen that I am in italics. I've never seen the am in italics.
The way I interpret that is the am puts God into time. The I is eternal.
No. Well, but the general, the manifest way that is it has no modifiers. That's why it's I am. I am not male, female, bond, or free, Greek, or Jew.
No labels.
No labels.
I am that I am.
Just I am.
Right. But I've intuited it, they would say that. The am is a time-dependent word. Am brings you into time. I is eternal. It doesn't denigrate it in any way. It's just that the idea that it's in italics sometimes makes
I understand that, but I would like you to show me where it's in italics.
Okay.
All right, we're studying light, and I messed it up when we last met because I, in my hurriedness, I wrote down the wrong scriptures. So, we're looking, because light is the same thing. I mean, as oracle, as salt, and now and brightness and light, they are all the same in terms of what they spiritually mean. So let's look at Micah chapter 2. Well, in verse 1 is it's not a very good example, but it's woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their beds. When the morning is light, they practice it because it is in the power of their hand. Now, when we studied, we've done it several times in Deuteronomy. And it talks, well, let's go there. Deuteronomy 18, I think. Yeah. This is a warning against having these practices in your life. Because these are called the heathen practices. Start in verse 9 through 14. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations.
Excuse me, I can't find where you are.
Deuteronomy 18, verse 9.
Oh, 9.
There shall not, now 10, there shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a necromancer. For all these things are an abomination unto the Lord, because of these abominations the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess hearken unto observers of times, unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not allowed thee or suffered thee to do so. Now, when we looked up all these words, I don't have them with me now, but every one of those things, necromancer, consulter with familiar spirits, wizard, maketh the son or daughter to pass through fire. That's all. That's what we do, all of these. And this is why this is so important. When you come into the land, that you know that those actions, charming is what most of us do, where we try to gain an advantage by our words. And that these whole things are what we do. That's what our mind does. We pass our children through the fire because we teach them the rules of behavior for this world, which is the fire. It's going to be. So all of the things that we do are listed here in unbelievable names. And anybody? So back to Micah. Woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their beds. Now, that's not talking about having sex on your bed. It's talking about all of these things that your mind does. And remember, it's all the things that you're doing because of the fall are the result of self-awareness. And once there's self-awareness, then there's the need for self-realization or self-improvement. And God says, no. Because we have come into the land. Amen? So.
Maybe think of last night I was teaching Bible study and I forget the exact thing, but it has to do with what God says don't do. And I find it difficult to confess that that is exactly what I do. It had to do with loving the world and the things in the world. And it's real hard to admit that I do love the world. I do love the things in the world. To actually say that, it was like, oh my God.
That's the beginning of freedom.
It really was. But it's a religious nature that would prevent the words from coming out your mouth. Are opposed to God. It was cool.
Good. Okay, Zechariah. And the word for light that we're studying now is just, its phonetic spelling is O-W-R, or in Hebrew, or our. And so, in chapter...
Can I ask about that O-W-R? Is that when Jesus said, I'm the light of the world, is it the same word?
No, it could have been, but we don't know for sure because he more than likely spoke in Greek.
Yeah.
Because the Greek was a common language then, because the Greeks had taken, you know, Ptolemies had taken over the whole of Israel.
Yeah. I guess my real question is, there's light, which we know physically, 186,000 miles a second. That light is not the same light.
No, the speed of light is not the determining factor, as you said.
Yeah.
because it's to for God and for us, it's not 186,000 miles per second. It's the speed of thought.
Yeah.
All right, Zechariah chapter 14. This comes. Let's start in verse 4.
1:14.
Zechariah 14. Starting in verse 4. It's talking about the Lord. It says, "And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof, toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And you shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. Yea, you shall flee like as you fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass at the evening time or night time it shall be light. And then in that day that living water shall go out from Jerusalem." Anyway, again, this is talking about the light that you describe. I mean, in Hebrew, it's Or, but it's just the word. It's nigh unto impossible for us to look from the top down instead of from the bottom up. There has to be something that breaks through in your mind that probably is somehow related to repentance, in which all of a sudden, like boom, and now you have a different view, because you're looking from the mercy seat, if you will, down to the passage of time. And that's why the word born again is so important, because that's the vehicle by which that crack happens in your mind, so you can see. And that, because remember, born again really means born from before, from the beginning of beginnings. So you have been with him from the beginning. Now that's what the place, well, in this four different stages of what the believers are, from the child to the adolescent to the young man to the father. It's at the father position when it breaks through, and you no longer look from the bottom up, you're looking from the top down. And that's hard to describe, but it's that kind of thing that happened while you were talking about. All of a sudden, boom.
I don't think I told you this experience I had last week of trying to figure out about the cross, and we died with him, we died in him. That's a mysterious concept, and I'm struggling with it. So according to James, I prayed and asked God for wisdom, and a moment later I heard or got a message, let's say that way. And the message was, well, you have to look at it from my point of view. And I realized I was trying to figure it out from my point of view, and it made no sense.
Amen.
But from his point of view, it makes sense.
Amen.
And that's what you just said, too.
Let's go to Psalm 139 for a minute. Maybe it's 137. Wait a minute. I forgot. Yeah, 139. This is one of my top two or three psalms that I just love it. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest me my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in thy tongue, but, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. That's pretty intense. But the point of it is, what our minds perceive as darkness, God sees as light. And that's hard. That's a terrible one to consider, because it proves that everything we can think about is wrong.
Yeah, we only know darkness and light because we have sensory perceptions that remove those things and get off the planet.
All right. Now, the word light I'm on the wrong page. There's a word that's affiliated with light, and that's brightness. And there's a ton of brightnesses in the Bible, but we're going to just look at three or four of them here. Let's go to Isaiah 60. Oh, I tore a page of my Bible. Well, let's just start in verse 19. The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee. But the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. The sun shall no more go down, neither shall the moon withdraw itself. For the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Thy people shall also be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the word of my hands, that I may be glorified. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten in its time. Now, that word for light is, or for brightness, is Nogah, N-O-G-A-H, and that's the way we would pronounce it. And it's also, we're looking at, just this. These are just examples, but let's go to Ezekiel now, chapter 1. Now remember, this is a reading for Pentecost. And it sees this incredible wheels within wheels and eyes everywhere. And they move as one being. And remember, we've talked about that and shown that that was each Seder should be that, as they move as one because they have the same mind, one to God. So in this is a part of that description. Well, let's start in verse 22. And the likeness of the firmament upon the heads of the living creature was as the color of the terrible crystal stretched forth over their heads above. And under the firmament were their wings, straight, the one toward the other. Every one had two, which covered on this side, and every one had two, which covered on that side, their bodies. And when they went, I heard the voice of the wings like the noise of great waters, as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as the noise of a host. When they stood, they let down their wings. And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads when they stood and had let down their wings. And above the firmament was that, above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone, and the likeness of the throne was the likeness of the appearance of a man above it. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward. I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about it. Now the word brightness, and this is a description now of them, the wheel within the wheels, looking up and seeing the throne of God. And they saw the brightness. And the word for brightness is that Naga thing. And let's look at one more in Daniel 12. This is the beginning of this description of at the time of the end. And at that time, in verse 1, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. So it talks about his people now sharing in that brightness, that Noga in the Hebrew. So now let's look at...
Is that kind of like Moses' face when he came down from the mountain with the
harp? I didn't check that out. Well, I'll do that. Let's go to Ezekiel 8 now. I should have done that one when we were Ezekiel. The word for brightness that we just read in Daniel 12, and this word that we're going to see in Ezekiel 8, let's just look at it real quick.
Naga still?
No, now we're in a different word, and that's why it's important. In chapter 8, verse 1, it came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, in the fifth day of the month, that I sat in mine house. And the elders of Judah sat before me, that the hand of the Lord fell upon me. Then I beheld, and lo, a likeness as the appearance of fire, from the appearance of his loins even downward, and from the appearance of his loins even upward, and the appearance of brightness as the color of amber. Now the word for brightness there, and then the one we just read in Daniel, is this, and it's the only two times it's used in the scripture, is Zohar. And if you remember, Zohar was the, according to legend, and we don't know, but this Zohar was this crystal that was that God gave to Noah that was in the ark. And as long as they were in the ark, there fell on all the animals and probably the people also, except for Noah. They were in a, like a state of suspended animation. It was like a bear's going into hibernation. And so they all, the Zohar then became this, the legends about the Zohar became this volume of books called the Zohar, which I have, and I just love them. They're just the, there's four volumes, and it's the kind of stuff that you don't see in other writings.
It's kind of like the cross book. What's that cross book that we like?
On the theology of being a theologian of the cross. Yeah, the same. That's the kind of thing. That's good.
That type of stuff. It's
and it's the same. There's another book that's in that same class that is not, it's only just sections of it are available. This was allegedly written by Daniel. It's called the Zend Avesta. And I would give my eye teeth to find a copy of that, because that was the holy book for the tribe of the Magi that came and offered, and supplicated themselves before the baby Jesus. But anyway, in the Zohar, the word for brightness is Zohar. And so, but that's what it is. It's and some of it may be bullshit. I haven't read it all. And, you know, I'd be condemned badly if certain people knew that I have read the Zohar. But
I actually got a copy of part of that while I was in the Army in Panama. And I remember when we talk about Zohar, I go back to that.
What was the part of what? No, I didn't understand.
The Zohar.
Oh, a part of it.
A book in Panama. I found it or whatever, but I had it. And the Zohar is a weird name. And I read it and I was just blown away. I knew nothing at the time, but the writings were just.
Mm-hmm. That's great. All right, let's go to one more. No, let's not. It's time to quit.
What was the first word for brightness?
Naga, N-O-G-A-H. We haven't studied the ones in the New Testament yet, but we will. It is said in the Zohar that the light that we see and the brightness of the sun is just the coat or that's covering it, so that we aren't destroyed by the.
Yeah.
Right. That's one of the things that's in the Zohar. All right. Any other?
That's why, in thinking about Moses, God showed him his hindermost parts, which means just a little bit of to keep from, you know.
Yeah, it doesn't mean his rear end. It just means the backside.
Just a little bit. Yeah.
All right. Take it, big guy.